Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
We just finished our series and our weekly worship experience Bible study on change. Amen. We've been talking for the last 3 weeks about change, regeneration, new birth. And I want to just give one final message in as it relates to change, because we need to be reminded that not only is God able to change us, if you didn't know he was able to change you, then you're missing out. Amen. We always want him to change other folk, but sometimes we've got to be honest and point a finger at ourselves and say, Lord, I need you to change me. And I know there are two or three folk in here who can bear witness to the fact that he is able to change you. But not only that, he's able to change your circumstances. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, there is a word from the Lord. 2 days later, there was a wedding in the town of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine had given out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no wine left." "You must not tell me what to do," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Jesus' mother then told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." The Jews have rules about ritual washing, and for this purpose, 6 stone water jars were there, each one large enough to hold about 100 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill these jars with water." They filled them to the brim. And then he told them, "Now draw some water out and take it to the man in charge of the feast." They took him the water, which now had turned into wine, and he tasted it. He did not know where this wine had come from, but of course the servants who had drawn out the water knew. So he called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone else serves the best wine first, and after the guests have had plenty to drink, he serves the ordinary wine. But you have kept the best wine until now." Jesus performed this first miracle in Cana in Galilee. There he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. And for just a few moments this morning, I want to speak to your hearts from the subject, when devastation meets celebration. And again, we're still talking about change. Amen. When devastation meets celebration. Thank you, ushers. It was, I believe, in 1981. When a group of gentlemen met together and came up with words of great profundity, words that have been indelibly etched into many of our memories. In 1981, these gentlemen, who were profound and prolific, assembled themselves together and came up with words that many of us in this room shall always remember and never forget. Words that we shall always reflect upon as days go by. Sincere words, deep words, profound words. Perhaps you're one of those who remembers these words. Celebrate good times, come on. There's a party going on right here, a celebration to last throughout the year. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gonna celebrate and party with you. Come on now, celebration. We're gonna celebrate and have a good time. Come on now, we're gonna celebrate and have a good time. It's time to come together. I see Sister Landry's with us. It's up to you. What's your pleasure? Everyone around the world, come on. I see that I'm not the only one in this room who remembers Kool and the Gang. Amen. Amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, I want to invite you to this little remote village called Cana of Galilee. It's what some might call the hood. But the good news is there's a celebration going on in the hood. It is the celebration of two young people who have found love in one another, and these two young people have decided to commit themselves to one another for the rest of their lives. And here they are in a celebration because they found love in this life. Now, I need to tell you that if anybody knew how to have a celebration, it was the Jews. As a matter of fact, they would party all week long. Some of y'all know about partying all night long, but the Jews had it down, amen, such that they would party all week long. And one of the most important ingredients for a party that would last all week long, they had to have some wine. And even though, my brothers and sisters, this party is in the hood, there is an A-list of guests who have been invited to this party. Mary, the mother of Jesus, has been invited to this party. Amen. Jesus himself has been invited to this party. I like that. I like that because it tells me that Jesus will show up at a party. For those of you who try to box him in and relegate him to the sanctuary, I want you to know that, amen, my Jesus doesn't mind showing up at a party. Do I have a witness today? He shows up at the wedding feast and he brings his boys along with him. He brings the fellows along with him to the party in the hood. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know that he'll show up in the hood. Am I by myself in here? Amen. I didn't grow up in the projects, but I didn't grow up in Beverly Hills either. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad to know that Jesus will show up in the hood. As a matter of fact, can I tell you, amen, how I was when Jesus met me? I was trying to remember these words Wednesday night, but they came back to me. Amen. I need to tell you how I was when Jesus met me. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But I found in him a resting place. And is there anybody here who can testify that since you met Jesus, amen, amen, you have some joy in your life? So here they are in the midst of celebration, in the midst of having a good time. Mary comes to Jesus with the most devastating words in the text. Mary, the mother of Jesus, says, "They have no more wine." Now that's a problem, Brother Thompson. That's a problem. That's a major problem at this Jewish celebration. That's a major problem because the wine represented the joy and high spirits of the celebration. Yes, they had to have some wine. Yeah. Amen. Now you need to understand that they did not have wine to get drunk. Tell your neighbor they weren't trying to get full. Amen. They weren't trying. Thank you, Brother Palmer. They weren't trying to, you know, amen, get tipsy and all that. They weren't trying to get drunk. Amen. It was against Jewish custom and law to be drunk. The wine just lightened the moment. I wonder every now and then, sometimes, you know, in church, amen, you know, the Catholics use the real stuff. And sometimes y'all get so heavy and seem like you're so burdened, you won't say amen, you won't, amen, clap your hands, you won't stand up, won't smile. I every now and then I think about telling our chairman, you know, go down there and get, replace that juice. Tell your neighbor the wine ran out. The wine. So Mary says to Jesus, "They have no more wine." Let me see if I can contextualize what's going on in this setting. It's like being at one of your parties. And somebody comes along and says, "Ain't no more wings." We done run out of meatballs. This is devastating. This is frustrating because they have no more wine. Jesus tries to deflect the situation off of himself by saying, amen, to his mother, "Woman, what have I to do with this situation? My time has not yet come." And can I tell you something? That it's right here that we discover with crystal clarity that Mary was a black woman.
Some of y'all missed it. You missed it. Amen. It's right in the text. Yes, sir. We discover. We don't have to watch the History Channel. We don't have to, amen, go to ancestry.com. Right here in this text, we discover with crystal clarity that Mary is a black woman. Mary is black, I tell you, because Mary does not even enter into dialogue with her son Jesus. As a matter of fact, she doesn't even respond to the statement that Jesus makes. She just simply looks at the servants and says, now Jesus told the woman, what do I have to do? She don't even look at Jesus. She don't pay him any mind. She simply turns to the servants and says, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. You do it. Am I the only one in here whose mama could just look at you? Just give you a certain look, a certain way, and whatever. See, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. Amen. Pastor had to call some kids out for being back in the back doing worship. It's a new day, I tell you. I wish Lily Mae Garner would have looked up and looked around and not seen me in the place that I was supposed to be. Amen. Amen. She wasn't worried about social services. She wasn't worried about the police arresting her. Right in the church, she would have had something on me. And y'all, next Sunday, I would have been sitting there, amen, with joy in my heart. Mary was a black woman, I tell you. Mary says, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Amen. So what I want you to see this morning, my brothers and sisters, is that devastation has entered the celebration. There's trouble all around because here this young couple is about to be embarrassed. Because y'all know how we are. Some folk are looking and saying, now, she knew how many people were going to be here. She sent out the invitation. She made up the list. Amen. Come on, y'all know us. Come on. Come on. Come on. She should have prepared. Amen. Here I is, and ain't no more wings. I didn't eat dinner because I had to go to the beauty shop and do this and do that and get here to the party. Ain't no more wings. Ain't even got no meat. Ain't got no cheese. Amen. No crackers or nothing. I'm going home. Amen. Mary says, whatever he says for you to do, do it. And Jesus says, this is what I want you to do. I want you to fill up the water pots with water. Yes, sir. That brings me to our first point. Tell your neighbor, neighbor, sometimes God will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. I told y'all last Sunday, I'm coming up, I'm coming up, I'm coming up. Some of y'all bore witness with me that you're coming up. Amen, amen. So sometimes God will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. You see, they didn't have a corner liquor store that they could run to. This wine had been maturing just specifically for this celebration. And when it was gone, guess what? It was gone. It looks bad. The situation looks hopeless, and somehow Mary knew that Jesus was the only one who could turn things around. Now, my brothers and sisters, understand that Jesus has not performed any miracles heretofore. Nobody but Mary, his mother, knows that there's something special about this boy, Jesus. The 11th verse says that this is the first miracle that he has ever performed. But every now and then, God has to wait until we get our backs against the wall. Every now and then, God has to wait until the bottom drops out. Am I in here by myself? Every now and then, God has to wait until you're standing out there by yourself to show you just how powerful he really is. If you know he has the power, give him praise in this place. And I believe I'm on somebody's pew this morning. Because you know what it means to be at your wit's end. You know what it means to have your back against the wall. You know what it means to come to the end of your rope. But some kind of way, Jesus steps in and makes it all right. And so I came by this morning to tell you that every now and then God will use devastation as a prelude to elevation. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. Sometimes you have to drop low so he can lift you high. Sometimes he has to let you fall way down there so he can bring you up. And you have to testify that if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, I wouldn't be here. He will use your devastation as a prelude to elevation. But not only that, because the text teaches us also that God will use your devastation as a means of fresh revelation. Look at what Jesus says. He says, go and get 6 water pots. Fill them up with water. What are you going to do, Jesus? Don't ask me any questions. Just go get the water pots. Stone water pots and fill them up to the brim with water. They have not seen, understand, they've never seen what he's able to do. Understand that they have never known him to be a way maker. I need you to understand that they've never, amen, known him to be a storm tamer. But now they're in a situation that is beyond their control. And every now and then, God will so circumnavigate the circumstances of our lives such that when we come through, when we come out, we can't say this happened because of mama and him. Do I have a witness today? When we come through that problem, when you come through that adversity, when you come through that trial, you won't be coming out talking about I was lucky. Amen. When he brings you out of that sickness, I'm talking about the kind of sickness the doctors have said there's nothing we can do. Amen. There ain't no help. Amen. When you come through that trial, when you come through that problem, you will come out with your hands up saying, if it had not been for Jesus, if he hadn't saved me, if he hadn't delivered me, if he hadn't rescued me, if he hadn't picked me up and turned me around and placed my feet on. And I know I'm looking at some folk who have that testimony here right now. I dare you to reflect on some stuff you went through. And what makes me mad is that some of you have been through some stuff that your haters were sitting back waiting on you to look sad. Your haters were sitting back waiting for you to cry, waiting for you to lose your mind, waiting for you to get on drugs and get on the bottle. But is there anybody here who's bad enough, who's bold enough in the midst of your mess that will stand on your feet and say, after all I've been through, I still have joy? Come on, come on, come on. Hunch that neighbor and say, don't get it twisted. It's rough, but I still have joy. Come on, come on. Nudge that other neighbor. I don't feel 100%, but I still have joy. I still have a praise. Give him praise in this place. So every now and then, God has to show us who he really is. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Jireh if you hadn't seen him provide. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Shalom if all hell hadn't broken loose in your life. You would have never known that he was Jehovah Shammah if all of your friends and associates had not walked out on you and left you by yourself. But I believe I have some witnesses today who can testify that when you were in your situation, God showed you just who he was. He says, go fill the water pots. Fill them to the brim. The Bible says that after they brought the water pots back to Jesus, Y'all, I've checked the record and nobody can explain how it happened. No scientific testing can explain how he turned ordinary water into extraordinary wine. All we know is that somewhere between the drawing out, the filling up, and the drawing out, tell your neighbor something happened. Nobody knows the exact moment. Nobody knows the exact minute. Nobody knows the exact second. But somewhere between the filling up and the drawing out, something happened, because the Bible says that it was the best wine they had at the party all day. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I have not had all good days. I've had some bad days. I've had some hills to climb. And can I tell you that there were moments I did not know how I was gonna make it. But after I turned it over to Jesus, I put it in his hands. I can't explain it, but I can testify that he made a change in my life. Is there anybody here? If you're not too mean, if you're not too proud, you ought to tell somebody, he made a change in my life. I don't cuss as much as I used to. I don't lie as much as I used to. But I thank God today for a change, a change. What a wonderful change. Oh, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Ain't he all right? Won't he give you joy in the place of sorrow? Won't he give you hope? Hope for your tomorrow. Am I by myself? Is there anybody here that the Lord made a way for? That the Lord opened doors for? Did he heal your body? Did he make a change? Did he make a change? Then can I tell you what you need to do? You need to open your mouth and tell him thank you. You need to clap your hands and tell him thank you. You need to run and tell of his goodness. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I wouldn't be here today. But since I'm here, I may as well tell him thank you. I may as well give him glory. I may as well bless his name. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? Won't he make a difference in your life? Tell him.
When celebration meets devastation, put it in his hands. He can make it all right. I want everybody to stand all over this place. Before the music starts, before we sing a word of song, there's somebody in this place today, and you can't really identify with this message because you ain't been through nothing yet. But there are one or two folk who, if we had a testimony service right now, they would have to testify, Lord, I've been through some stuff. As a matter of fact, I'm going through some stuff right now. Just this week, amen, I learned that Sister Porsche is dealing with some physical ailments. Brother Porsche dealing with physical ailments. But look where they are. Look where they are. Sister Wilson here, dealing with physical ailments. My knee been popping like crazy. But I said, since it's gonna pop, I may as well let it pop for Jesus. He will make a way for you. I said, he will make a way for you. I hope to encourage somebody in this room today to know, my brother, my sister, no matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, in the Master's hand, if you'll do what he says do, he will transform the very existence of your life into something positive, something refreshing, something, amen, that's worthy of praise. Is there anybody here that can say he's done that kind of thing in my life that warrants that I give him praise? Come on and give him praise in this place. Our praise team is coming. Thank you, God. Our ministers, our deacons are standing now. If you're here today, my brother, my sister, without Christ in your life, I challenge you now to just do what he says. Do you want to know what he says? He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Just do what he says do, my brother. Do what he says do, my sister. If you're here, he's speaking to your heart. You want a change in your life, you need to do what he says do. Come forward right now and say, preacher, I want to give my life to him. Oh, what a change he will make in your life. Secondly, there's a backslider. You got off track. The good news is that he will restore the joy. No ifs, ands, or buts. I see you, my sister. That's it. Come on. You don't have to wait. Amen. Come on. Come on. Respond to the gospel. You're here. You want a change in your life. Come on to Jesus. Last but not least, there are those of you who know him. He's real in your life. You're just looking for a church where you can worship him. I see you, my sister, in spirit and in truth. In these three areas, as we pray, as we sing. If that's you, my brother, if that's you, my sister, come on, come on, come on.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer to you,
oh my sister. He will give you brand new life abundantly. My brother, we're waiting on you, my son.
Emmanuel.
All right, all right, all right.
Emmanuel.
at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1777.